welcome to the Escaping Moral Adventure podcast, episode one of, we'll see.
I don't know.
This is Mark, and I'm here with Fallon.
Hello.
And today we're going to be discussing New Year's resolutions and how effective they are or not.
Right.
So, I have done a little bit of research, and I want to see what you think about it.
Okay. Go for it.
And then I hope you have an alternative for us, because you're not going to like what you find in this research. So, we certainly have all done a New Year's resolution, I think. I know I've done it a few times. And this research that I found has some interesting stats about how effective it is. So first I want to start with a quote. And this is from Dr. Susan Michie. She is the head of UCL Center for Behavior Change in London. And this is what she said about why we even make New Year's resolutions to begin with. She said, the beginning of the new year is an important time symbolically. People reflect on their values, their desires, and what they want to change. And the reason I wanted to say that was I can very much relate to that.
Mm-hmm. So can I.
Yeah, I mean, you know me. You know I like to try to do new things and change things. So I can relate to that. And I think that's probably why we always see, you know, the new year, that people are trying to do something new. But the outcomes of New Year's resolutions is not good. So turns out less than half of people who start a New Year's resolution keep it after 6 months. So less than half done after 6 months. Mm-hmm. And when I first read that, I thought, that doesn't seem too bad. I mean, at least that's 6 months. That's half the year, you know. But I think it kind of gets worse if you look at it a little bit more closely. And what I mean by that is 1 in 4 don't even make it past 1 week.
Wow. Yeah.
So 1 out of 4 are done after 1 week. And so, yeah, people are dropping out on these New Year's resolutions quickly. And actually, I found this thing called the false hope syndrome. So researchers have now named this thing. And the false hope syndrome, especially related to when we're trying to like make changes in our life, means that we have unrealistic expectations about the ease, speed, likely degree of change, and presumed benefits of the change in our lives. So we have this false hope syndrome that affects us. And what I think is interesting here is the false hope syndrome is a double-edged sword, because it motivates us to start a New Year's resolution, but because we have the syndrome, we're prone to fail. And I think the good side is it motivates us to start. But the downside, and it gets, I think, worse, is from what I've seen, is people that have done it a few times and failed multiple times. That was our cat, by the way, making a little cameo.
He'll probably hear him.
But people that have tried a New Year's resolution a few times and failed. Now I know a lot of people that say, well, just I'm not going to try anymore. Like, they're just going to stop. So, I don't know. What are your thoughts on New Year's resolutions? You've followed them and seen them done and probably even tried them.
I don't particularly care for them. I don't do New Year's resolutions anymore. I do something a little bit differently instead, which is actually, it's something that our pastor had proposed to our congregation a few years ago. And the idea, he said, was not original with him either. But he said, instead of a resolution, pick a word for the year and then a scripture to go along with it. And the idea here is that, you know, New Year's resolutions don't last, but a word will, or at least a word will be more likely to last throughout the year. Because with New Year's resolutions, it's sort of this pass or fail mentality, it is pass or fail, right? You make a resolution and either you did it or you didn't. And a word isn't centered on passing or failing. It's more so a way to just focus or orient your year, if you will. You know, for example, let's say for 2021, I would like to lose weight or eat healthier foods, something related to that. I know a lot of New Year's resolutions revolve around changing our looks in that way or our lifestyles in that way to be healthier. So a New Year's resolution for that might be to exercise 5 days a week and get rid of junk food, except for maybe one day of the week or the month or something like that. Well, let's fast forward to mid-February. Okay, so we're like a month and a half into this New Year's resolution, and I can count on one hand the number of times that I've exercised. And I would need more than two hands to count the number of times I've downed a box of EL fudge cookies. So I've failed, right? And this right here would just make me give up. I mean, clearly I have not checked the box of succeeding at this New Year's resolution.
I like how your hypothetical, so, you used EL fudge cookies, by the
well,
way.
Well, those are my favorite, but this is just hypothetical. Yeah, so if we take that same example, though, and instead of making a New Year's resolution out of it, we choose a word, okay? So if I want to lose weight and eat healthier foods this year, maybe my word for the year is healthy, okay? Or maybe it's self-control, because it takes a lot of self-control to do those things. So I think that would be a really good word, actually. And one scripture might be 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, which says, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you are bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." That scripture could kind of go along with if you chose the word healthy. If you chose the word self-control, maybe a scripture could be 1 Corinthians 10:13, which says, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it." So those are just a couple of examples of how you could turn a resolution into a word instead.
Yeah, just listening to you talk about the word, because when you were going through it at first and you said healthy and then self-control, and especially maybe the healthy one, I think it could almost be sort of a shallow word in some ways. But then you attach it to that scripture and it gives it that really that grounding, that strong grounding. So that's, yeah, I really like the attaching it to scripture part of this word.
I do too. One word that I did do in 2020 was priority. So I chose priority as my word, and my scripture came from Matthew 6:33 that talks about, you know, seek first the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. And I chose that because I wanted to be sure that I was putting Jesus first in my life and not giving him second place or third or fourth or whatever the case may be. So those are just a couple of examples. One probably hypothetical, and the other was my word for 2020.
I want to ask you a specific question here, because when we were chatting, preparing to have this conversation, I found out something that you do as it relates to your word. And first of all, I don't know why I just found this out. We've been doing these words for several years, but it was this. So I've been doing the words too, right? And what I've noticed is I had a hard time, or I struggled with, or just didn't do, whatever you want to say, the concept of integrating this word into my days. And that's probably overstating. I would notice that I would go long stretches of time not even thinking about the word.
Okay.
So although I like detaching the word, let's say, from an action, it feels like it's something's missing. And you had a really, really good example here of what you did. Can you talk about that?
Well, so I'll go with the healthy and eating example, or healthy / self-control example first. Let's say, you know, you pick one of those words for your word for the year and your scripture to go along with it. And then from there you would, or what I did was brainstorm practical ways to incorporate that into my life. So, or put that word into practice. So, you know, if that was my word, self-control or healthy eating, maybe I would decide that before each time I go to eat or go to snack, I pause and actually think about, am I eating because I'm hungry? Am I hungry right now? You know, like listen for the belly growls or whatever, if you're hungry, or am I eating because I'm bored or I'm sad or mad, or because I'm cooking and the food's in front of me, you know? So it's something practical that helps you kind of focus on that word or measure if you're focusing on that word. Yeah. I don't know if that is a good way to put that or not, but with the priority word that was my word for 2020, to help me be sure that I did prioritize Jesus, I chose to get up in the 5 o'clock hour every morning and spend time either reading the Bible or praying or doing a Bible study or a combination of those things. And, you know, were there mornings that that didn't happen? Absolutely. There were many mornings that I just didn't get out of bed, or it was a rough night, and so I thought sleep was more important. And whether or not that was correct, I'm not sure. But, you know, I never just gave up and said, well, I failed at that. And, you know, had my resolution been to get up at 5 o'clock every morning and pray and read my Bible, I would have been more inclined to say, well, you know, that went way bad.
You would have had to mark
day
fail.
Two. Right. So I'm just, forget it. You know, I've already failed at my New Year's resolution. But since I just chose a word, it kind of gives you that flexibility where, okay, no, I didn't get up at five and do that today, but I could still do it later in the day and still make Jesus a priority, right? Because that was my word. Mm. Or I can find other ways to incorporate it. And you know, so even if there's long stretches of time where that doesn't happen, where I didn't get up at five in the morning, I still never really felt like it was a lost cause, if that makes sense. You know, there was flexibility in ways I could prioritize Jesus.
Yeah. And yeah, I really like the two things about this. One was how you said you integrated it into your life. So the concept of getting up every morning was important for you to integrate priority into your life. And two, the flexibility the flexibility that you have. So now you can keep priority as a foundation for you, and you're spontaneously obedient to priority in your life. So that was like part of it. And then obviously it was priority to Christ here. And as you go along through the year, and I know you said you didn't exactly do this, but I'm imagining here, so I'm anxious to hear your thoughts, that you could sort of say, look, getting up at five in the morning was important for my priority at first, because maybe you were on your phone in the morning, you knew that was a problem, let's say. But as you went through the year, or as you go through the year, you actually might decide or find out or discover that you need something to do something else and integrate it in a different way. And yet you can still have that word that reminds you and like you said, helps you orient.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because, you know, your schedule could change, your demands on your life could change, and or your work schedule could change, and maybe getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning doesn't work because you're actually working midnights from, you know, 7P to 7A or something. And so, yeah, that the word kind of gives you, it does give you that flexibility to change. And it's also, like I said, it's that word is just kind of in the back of your mind, and it helps inform, for me anyway, it helps inform decisions. And, you know, for example, when you and I were considering hosting a Bible study at our church, priority was in the back of my mind, and I'm like, oh, well, we could do this, you know, and it fits in with what I'm trying to do this year. And yeah, so it's just kind of helps focus.
I want to add one other thing, because you said something earlier that made me think of it, and we don't have to go into this in detail because maybe we'll just add some content in the description. But that is, I read a book this year called The Power of Habit by a person named Charles Duhigg. And he talks about something you said about, hey, when I go to the cupboard to get a cookie or food or whatever, he talks exactly about taking that pause and how that's a really important step if you're trying to break a habit or form a habit. And it's basically this cycle. And the routine, or the cycle, is there's a cue that starts the routine, then there's the actual routine, and then there's the reward. And then it starts itself back over. And so I'll put some of that content in the description, because we could go for a long time just on habits, let's say, but I think that was a really good example that you kind of had there, is how that word can sort of give you that reminder. And then you can leverage other resources to help you come up with how to change, for example, in your example there, like how you would integrate that into your life. So
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Anyway, so lastly, I want to ask you, so we are the Escaping Moral Adventure podcast. How does this fit in?
Well,
or we're heading towards
spontaneous obedience, yeah. Right. I think this gives us Well, so a word, if you had a word, it gives you a focus, right? And so for me, and my word is priority, and thinking of being spontaneously obedient in that light, right? Anything that is going to help me prioritize Jesus would be something I would want to lean towards doing. You know, I wouldn't want to try to like rationalize my way out of doing it or come up with a bunch of difficulties as to why I couldn't do it or something like that.
And I can remember that we sort of talked, you mentioned the should we host a Bible study or whatever, and you had that priority in, as a word. And so I can remember, you, like you said, we sort of said, you know what, that's your word. You prayed about having your word at the beginning of the year. You prayed about what it would be. It became your word for the year. And so you use that to help make those decisions. And
yeah, that's true, because, you know, if you're listening to this in 2021, it's COVID, you know, early 2021, we're still in the COVID era, if you will. And so there were plenty of reasons to say, no, we're not going to have a Bible study anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and because I had priority in the back of my mind, it kind, yeah, I'm just kind of reflecting here. It kind of did push me towards not trying to find reasons to not do it, if that makes sense, but more towards how could we make this work, because it is something that's important.
Yeah, and like you said, there's many difficulties or problems with starting or doing anything, and so what is that grounding? So I think it ties in really well to just the overall topic that we're trying to move toward.
Yeah.
What else about the word? Anything else that you would mention?
Well, that everyone should pick a word.
Yes. Okay.
Prayerfully.
Yeah.
Consider a word.
Spend a little bit of time. I like how in our church, the pastor, he has everyone write down their word on like a big sheet of paper and then hold it up during service. I always thought that was pretty cool. And then he'll take a picture of it. So anyway, write down your word, pick it. It's on our, we have a chalkboard in our house. So that's where we have ours.
Our right word now. And then our scripture reference. Yeah. And let us know what your words are. We want to know.
Yeah. And if you'll be making a New Year's resolution, which, hint, we will not be making a New Year's resolution, but like to know.
I agree.
Okay. So thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
See you later.